Father, we are grateful today for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of being able to pray together another day, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. Open the Word. Help us to understand the truth of it. Grant, Father, we pray, an understanding that will result in application. Meet every need of every burdened heart today. Lift burdens, solve problems. Show thyself strong in behalf of those who place their trust in thee. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, will you open them, please, to the second chapter of the book of the Revelation, and notice with us the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to the church at Smyrna, which message we have been studying for a few days. Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. The church at Smyrna is the second church which is mentioned in the list of seven. It represents the second period of church history that began somewhere in AD 69 and continued on to the reign of the Roman emperors Nero and Diocletian and so forth. The word Smyrna, we learned, meant suffering, and this was a suffering church. We've already noticed that the Lord Jesus Christ encouraged them by reminding them that he knew something about suffering. The Lord Jesus Christ reminded them of the reason why they were having the trouble they were having. He knew that in their midst were those who belonged to the synagogue of Satan. And we learned that the synagogue of Satan were Jews and others, for that matter, who were not obedient to the word of the living God. And we said that in every age there are people who are members of the synagogue of Satan, not obedient to the word of God, and making it difficult for those who are obedient to the word of God. Members of the synagogue of Satan may be of any race, they may be of any creed, they are individuals who do not obey the word of the living God. Though the church at Smyrna was a suffering church, facing difficult times marked by poverty, the Lord Jesus Christ reminded them that they had riches that many people did not have, riches that many people did not fully understand, riches that cannot be tabulated in figures. Today, we are ready to look at the 10th verse of Revelation chapter 2. Where you hear the Lord Jesus Christ saying, Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Notice, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying in this 10th verse to these saints in the church of Smyrna, Now don't be afraid. You're going to have an awful hard time. You're going to suffer an awful lot. But don't be afraid. I'm going to tell you what is going to happen. So hold on tight while I say it. The devil is going to cast some of you into prison that you might be tried. Oh, how the saints of God in this particular period of church history were tried. They were cast into prison. And do you know who God said did it? He said the devil did it. History says Nero did it. History says Diocletian did it. But God said the devil did it. And you know why he did it? That the saints of God might be tried. You say, why? Why does God want to put his thumb upon us and watch us squirm? What's the point of it? Beloved, that isn't it. The word that is translated tried here is a word that speaks of proving, a work that speaks of verifying a claim that has already been made. Now, most of you, I think, are familiar with the story in the book of Job. We don't have time to look at it in detail, but you remember, you read it in the first two chapters of the book of Job. The devil was walking up and down throughout the earth, and one day he decided to go to one of the council meetings that's held in heaven. The angels of God are holding meetings there all the time. He decided to go. When he walked in, God said, "Devil, where did you come from?" And he said, "From walking up and down throughout the length and the breadth of the earth." And God said, "I know that. What were you doing?" "You were trying to find out, weren't you, how many people they say really love me. You were trying to find out how many people that say they would do anything in the world for me would really do it. That's what you were trying to find out, wasn't it?" And the devil said, "Yes, and I haven't found anybody who means what they say. God, you're a big fool. You think those people love you down there, but they don't really. They don't really love you. I haven't found anybody who really loves you." And God said, "I think you've overlooked one man that I know does. Have you thought about my servant Job?" And that put the devil back a moment or two, because when he thought about it, he knew that Job really did love God. But you know, he wanted to make an excuse. He's a liar, the father of it. He said, "No, the only reason he loves you is because you've been so good to him. Well, if you didn't bless him the way you bless him, he wouldn't love you." God said, "That isn't true. And to prove it to you, I'm going to let you have him to do with whatever you want to do, except kill him. You can't kill him. You can't raise your hand against him. But you can do anything else you want to do, and you'll find out that he really does love me." Well, you know the story. The devil tried everything, and Job still loved God. And the devil went back and said to God, "I wish you would give me a little more permission. I'd like to do a little bit more to him." And God said, "All right." You see, the devil was trying him to prove him. Will you take comfort, folk, in the fact that though the devil is the prince of the power of the air, and the devil can do anything he wants to do, still there is a restraint. He can't do anything that God won't let him do. When God puts his foot down, he's helpless. Except what he does by permission of God, and sometimes because God, and I say this reverently, wants us to put up or shut up, he turns us over to the devil to try us, to see whether we really mean what we say or not. I think you will agree with me today that many of us don't really mean it. We mean it while we're singing it, we mean it while we're preaching it, we mean it while we're telling it, but there are not many of us that mean it while we're living it. And the devil likes to find it out. So, back to our thought again. He tried this business of persecution at Smyrna for the purpose of finding out whether they were really true or not. So God said to them here in the 10th verse, my, the accuracy of Scripture, "Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Now we've said to you, if you compared these two chapters with any reputable church history book, you would find that there were 10 Roman emperors who were outstanding for their persecution of the children of God. And this is what it means. Thou wilt have persecution 10 days. Here was one who came along, and the persecution was terrible. He passed off the scene. The Christians began to breathe a sigh of relief and say, well, it's not going to be so hard on Christians now. And then another emperor would come. 10 of them made life unbearable for Christians in that day. And more martyrs died in this particular era of church history than at any other time. If you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you ought to read it. When John Bunyan went to prison, All he had with him was his Bible, Fox's Book of Martyrs, and out of his Bible and Fox's Book of Martyrs came Pilgrim's Progress. Perhaps if we were to be more familiar with the martyrdom of the saints of another day, our hearts could be prepared for what I believe will eventually come on the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ before the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Notice the exhortation that he gave in the 10th verse when he said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Will you notice, please, he did not say, "Be faithful until death." He said, "Be faithful unto death." He did not say, "Hold out, do the best you can until you die." He said, "Be faithful even if it demands your life. Be faithful even to the point of death." There's no special reward deserved by individuals who just live for the Lord until the day they die and live a faithful, exemplary life. But if they come face to face, as many of the Christians in this age of which we speak did, where they did face death or recant their faith in Christ, they died. I wonder if we would be willing to do that today. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "If you are faithful unto death, I will give you a crown of life." And here is a promise concerning a reward that only those who give their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ will receive. One of five crowns that are promised to believers in the Word of God. It is a crown that will be awarded when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back for his church. And it is the crown that can only be received by those who give their lives in the service of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the martyr's crown. And I ask you, do you think you could get a crown like that? Would you be willing to be faithful unto death?